And welcome everybody to another episode of the Unsung Gamers Podcast. I am your host, Rico, aka Phantom Recon, and with me, as always, is my brother, Shadow Alchemist X, aka Nindol.
Hey.
And today we're going to be diving back into the world of Cyberpunk 2077 again. Yes, because recently my brother just beat the game, and I really want to ask him a bunch of questions about it. But before we dive into it, maybe we should, you know, backtrack a little bit to, I guess, give you a little bit of history of Cyberpunk 2077.
There you go.
From a rocky start to potential redemption, we'll explore the journey of one of the most anticipated games that, at least at the time when it came out, because I remember it had such big hype when it was coming out. Keanu Reeves made an appearance for the presentation. I mean, I don't even know. What year did this game come out again?
2020, I believe. Let me check. Okay. Yeah, December. December 2020.
I'm going to say 2021. Yeah, so it came out really good. But, you know, let's rewind to the hype leading up to the release of Cyberpunk 2077. You know, with promises of a groundbreaking open-world experience, the excitement was palpable. Oh, yeah, right there. I'm using a really nice word right there. I hope you like it.
I do.
However, upon the release, you know, players at least early on encountered, a bunch of issues with it. Glitches, bugs, performance issues, leading to a wave of disappointment. Nando, do you know what went wrong in the very beginning?
I mean, I think the whole issue was that they were making this grand world on a console generation that could never support it. Like, it needed to be PC and, like, next gen, which is, you know, current gen now only.
Yeah. And I guess, I only know very little about it. I just heard it was really good, you know, obviously from Tonio. Shout out from Tonio. He would tell me about it. And obviously the great TV show that I recommend everybody, Edgerunners. And hopefully I get the name right, on Netflix. But I remember, you know, it faced, you know, a lot of pressure due to the high expectations and a complex development process. You know, this is the same publishing company that made The Witcher 3. What's it called? CD Projekt Red? Did I say that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, if they deliver such a great game, and even now to this day, The Witcher 3 is still being played, even now. And so, you know, they wanted to keep that same hype up for Cyberpunk when it came out. However, Nando, I guess you touched upon it. Yeah, for sure. I think they made a game that's really meant for next-gen consoles or even PC, but they released it, I guess, in the time as the PS4 was still out and the PlayStation 5 just came out, so not a lot of people were able to play with it neither.
Yeah, and there wasn't, an official, like, PS5 Xbox Series release until 2022. Like, they had to use the PS4 port, which that itself was broken anyways.
Yeah, and I guess I gotta give kudos to CD Projekt Red, because, like, I know they acknowledged the problems and, you know, they were committed to releasing patches and updates to improve the game. So, and then they also offered refunds and provided a roadmap outlining their plans for fixing Cyberpunk. So, I mean, they're very committed, and that's something that I really liked about them. I mean, they heard people, you know, talk about it. They're like, hey, this sucks. Game's not that good. But, you know, they came back and were telling people, hey, we'll fix it. You know, we promise we'll deliver a game. And I'm sure it was challenging for them. But the company, you know, they were determined to make things right, you know. And now, fast forward to, I guess, now, maybe even last year. I mean, they've really, I think, solved the problem, because I think now people are playing the game, I feel like, more than ever. And I think it was even voted or at least received an award at the Game Awards, just like the best continuation game or something like that. So they did something right, and people are playing it, and I'm playing it now. And yeah, I'm playing on PS5, and I mean, so far I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, like, there was some criticism about them being, like, the best ongoing game at the Game Awards, but, I mean, you gotta give to CD Projekt Red, like, they had a broken game that they fixed. Like, they didn't give up on it, so they rightfully deserve that award.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to the issues, CD Projekt Red, you know, they really addressed the issues You know, they made a bunch of updates, improved stability, performance, and they fixed a bunch of bugs. And you know, again, I'm not saying that, oh, now it's the perfect game, but it's like a thousand times better than when it first released. Because I do remember seeing clips, you know, on social media, people playing the game, and there's all kinds of issues with it. And now, like, I mean, I think people are more enjoying it now.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's in a much more stable space right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess, so now fast forward to now, you know, where me and my brother are now playing Cyberpunk. And if you haven't played it yet, I hope y'all do. I'm going to ask my brother some questions about the game, but without giving too many spoilers, you know, I guess, what did you think of the game now that you've beaten it? I guess, like, was it everything that you thought? Was it better? Is it up there to with The Witcher 3, you know, standard? I guess, like, just tell me what you thought about it.
I guess, first and foremost, like, it's not up there with Witcher 3 as far as, like, story-wise, but that doesn't mean the story is bad. The story is still really good. It's just I enjoyed Witcher 3 more than this than Cyberpunk. But with Cyberpunk 2077, like, it was better than I expected it to be. And I guess that's most people's, like, reaction to the game now, is that it's in a, it's much better. Like, gameplay-wise, story-wise, it's a lot better than we all thought it was going to be.
Well, yeah, yeah, for sure. And then I know now, or at least me playing it, I'm really enjoying it right now. Again, I just started. I'm barely into it. But I did pick the path of, I guess it's the corporate path, and I think Doñon, he picked the streets. I think you picked Nomad, I think. And yeah. Yeah, so I guess, can you tell me where you start off on that game? Because, like, for me, I started off basically in the corporate world, basically working in the office. And then I basically get thrown under the bus, basically, by the corporate company. And I lose everything. And so now I'm turning to the streets. But with the corporate mind in mind, and just, yeah, taking on the world of, what's it called? The city? Night City? Or what's, Night whatever city. It's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I guess, like, how does the story start off for you playing a Nomad?
You start off as a former club member of a biker gang, technically, is what the Nomads are. Or I guess that's what they are now. Like, a Nomad is someone who is not affiliated with any club. And you start off in the desert in a garage getting your car fixed because it had broken down out there, waiting to meet up with Jackie. And, like, that's pretty much where you start off at. Like, you're new to the city, and, like, you've only lived in the outskirts of the towns, like, everywhere. So, like, I felt like for me that kind of fits more in line with where I would be coming from. And not, like, in the city streets or in the corpo world either.
Cool, cool. Yeah, for me, it's been, well, I haven't really dived more into, like, where the corporate world connect, other than the beginning part, but, like, again, I'm just starting off, but so far, I'm really enjoying it. I do like it. It does have, you know, some little sneak attacks here, and, but I guess, from my perspective, it looks, well, first off, the game is beautiful. Like, when I first started playing it, and again, you get introduced to the city, and, you know, you're driving around the town, and you're just like, whoa, like, it's really, really great. And again, I'm playing on a PS5, so I mean, that might be a reason for it, but man, it's definitely great. Oh, and yeah, I gotta give a shout out to CD Projekt, because I don't know, because, like, I have the PS4 version, like, hard copy, but and I thought I was gonna be playing the PS4 version, but when I put it in, it said that I could download the PS5 version for free. And I was like, oh, cool. So, yeah, all I had to do was put in the disc, leave it in there for it to download, and then boom, I got the PS5 version. I was like, oh, man, beautiful, awesome. So that worked out. I thought I was going to have to buy the PS5 version, like, another hard copy, which that's another topic we need to talk about, you know, hard copies versus digital copy, you know. But maybe we could say that for another topic for another day. But, yeah, I'm happy that I have it. And, yeah, so far, so good. And, Ananda, I guess you said you played, what, did you say 50 hours?
Yeah, about 45 hours into the game, pretty much. That's what I've been playing on.
And that was playing on basically the main story, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and some of the side missions, but mostly stuck to the main story. Like, I didn't know until after I beat the game that there were like side mission markers on your map, and that's what that's all about. I never paid attention to it till like at the end of the game, like, oh, well, dang it, I could have done all those.
Oh, I guess like for me starting off, do you want to give me any advice or maybe something I should be on the lookout for or a particular weapon maybe I should get? Like what do you think?
I mean, starting out, like the hacking ability that you start off with, like at the very beginning, is incredibly useful. Like, that's something I use throughout the entire game. But really, like, the game kind of plays
Perfect.
to your speed. Like, it doesn't, like, there's no real singular way of playing it. I will say, like, stealth is like key, like, to like not get noticed and to like, I guess, not get killed as often. Because in the beginning, you are pretty weak.
I am. Okay. Well, that sounds promising because I know for me, when I created my character, it gives you like these points that you can apply to different skills to your player. And I know I put more towards, hacking. Because I was like, well, I like computers. And so I went with that. Because, yeah, there was other stuff like agility and something else. But I just remember hacking really caught my attention. I was like, yeah, I think I might need that. Because I'm in this futuristic world, and I think computers are a big thing. So yeah, and obviously, my character comes from the corporate world, so I felt like that might be something helpful. But now hearing it from you, that it's very helpful, and that I invested my points into that, and I guess I'll then moving forward, I'll invest more into that area
Oh yeah,
for sure.
absolutely. Like, you have plenty of skill points, especially if you actually do the side missions that I didn't do. Like, you'll have plenty of points to build into other parts of the skill trees.
Cool. Yeah, I'm well, like I said, I mean this game so far has been really, really great. I'm enjoying it. I mean, I don't think I'm gonna beat it by next week, but give me like 2, 3 weeks, I'll probably beat it, and I might be playing some other games in between. But well, speaking of that, we might be jumping back on Call of Duty again, but we'll see on that. But yeah, I guess so. Now that you've beaten Cyberpunk, I guess what's next?
Right now I'm currently streaming Dead Space Remake, playing through that right now.
Nice. Oh, so this is like the better version of Callisto Protocol, I guess you'd say.
Man, hell yeah, like, it is so much better than Callisto Protocol, and that's not me coming from like the original OG like Dead Space player. It's just like the whole atmosphere and the story of it, like, it because things do play out kind of the same, but it's much more elaborated, just like how Resident Evil 2, 3, and 4 remakes were.
Man, that's good, and I guess like nowadays, because I feel like they're remaking all these games now, which I mean, it's good. I mean, me personally, I wish they'd remake Dino Crisis. I would love them for them to remake that, but yeah, well, that's good to hear that Dead Space still holds its own. If anything, I think it's even better than the original, from what I hear.
Yeah, like, it's, you get like pretty much like the skills that you get from like Dead Space 2 or here in Dead Space 1, like the impale skill or ability that you can get in Dead Space 2, like at the beginning, you
Oh,
have that
nice.
ability in this one, so which helps out a lot, man, because those things come at you quick and they don't go down with a few shots.
Oh man, I still remember a story where when I had the games, Dead Space 1, and man, I had to go. Yeah, I was in college. I invited my buddy over, John. Shout out to John, Johnny5 Arcade. Give him a follow. And I was playing the game. I was like, "You want to try it?" He's like, "Man, I don't know," because he's watching me play. I was like, "Let's just play this one part." And I remember this one part, and it was just him going through a hallway, and then out of nowhere, this tentacle comes out and just grabs him and freaks him out. He throws his controller up in the air, like literally throws it up in the air because it really spooked him. And then I was like, "Come on, man, you gotta shoot it. You shoot the tentacle's gonna pull you in." And then he's trying to grab it, and he's all flustered, and he's trying to shoot it, but like when it pulls you, it throws your aim off. So you think you're aiming, okay, but when it pulls, it throws you off. And I remember, I mean, he ended up getting killed, but he was like, "Oh no, I'm done. I'm done."
No
I
more,
was like,
no mas.
"Yeah," but I mean, I love that game. That game was awesome. Yeah, and the story was great. I even watched a TV show, so yeah, that's definitely a good game there. And obviously, if they may remake Dead Space 1, they might just go ahead and remake the rest of them. And if they do, I'm kind of curious how they're going to remake Dead Space 3, because I feel like Dead Space 3 really lost its edge.
Yeah.
And if they do remake Dead Space 3, that maybe it'll be scarier. And I mean, as much as I enjoyed the co-op, I hope it's more single player, because it's just more scarier. But if it is co-op, then I hope it make it scarier, something where, like, you know, maybe we split, you know, like we're not in the same room. Like you go left, I go right, kind of thing. Yeah, you explore like the left half of the ship, I explore the right half of the ship. Like that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Yeah, like that's something that kind of killed the Dead Space 3. Well, that and the story, but the way the remake's going right now, I mean, it's a lot. There's a lot more detail in like the story itself and like what's really happening in that world. Like it's all just a mystery until you play the game.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, cool. We definitely need to make a schedule for that one, because like I know Dead Space, that's a really good game. Like I love that game. Like if I can, there was a figure that I saw, I should have bought it. It was like $30, I think, for an Isaac figure. Like it wasn't a one for one. It was like one for 15. But it was just a smaller figure, but it was like very detailed-ish. Man, because I love that. That game was awesome, man. But
yeah. Cool. What I really liked about the remake, I guess it's not really spoilers, but the original voice actor came back to reprise his role, like motion capture and voice again. And like the developers went out of the way to age up Isaac, because he's no longer, I guess, in his 20s that he was in the original. Like now he's like somewhere in his 40s, which I guess is the same age as a voice actor.
That is cool. And I don't know how you know that, but that's pretty cool details right there. That's pretty cool. Because like I did have a connection with the original Isaac. And even though in the first one he never talks at all, other than the grunts that he does. But I think you said that the new one he does kind of talk a little bit, or has a little bit of dialogue.
Oh no, he has a lot more dialogue. Like he's a very central protagonist in this remake. Like there's a lot of dialogue, and like whenever he talks to himself too, like about things that are just happening. Like oh shit, like where the fuck did I come from? Kind of stuff like that he'll say.
Man, that sounds so good, man. We definitely need to put a schedule out so everybody can see this. Because if you don't want to play it, because you know I understand some people are scared to play video games or scary video games. So you know, hey, I'm not trying to say it's a bad thing. I'm not saying you're scaredy cat or anything like that. That's some people are. You know, as our friend Jermaine puts it, you know, he's not paying to get scared, because you know nobody wants to get scared. You know, he doesn't want to pay to get scared. You know, definitely could watch it. You know, I think it's really cool when you can watch it. So yeah, definitely need to make a schedule for that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing it for a while now. I think I'm on chapter 10 now, but I'll make sure to like back it up to like YouTube, so at least it'll be right there for everybody to watch if they want to check it out.
Oh, awesome! Yeah, definitely probably should do that too, in case people want to check it out. So that'll be coming soon, and in portions for sure. Then, because I love Dead Space, and I didn't know you're playing it, so that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun, man.
But I guess going back to the cyberpunk, you know, all this futuristic stuff, you know, I guess like to conclude our podcast, I guess looking ahead, what does the future hold for Cyberpunk 2077? Like, I know there's a DLC that recently came out. Do you anticipate any more DLCs coming out for Cyberpunk?
I don't, unfortunately, which isn't a bad thing, because that Phantom Liberty got great reviews for it. I think right now they're focusing on the Witcher remake and the sequel Witcher 4 right now, and I think Cyberpunk is still gonna be updated, you know, because there's still a few bugs in there, but nothing game breaking anymore. That's probably the only thing you'll be getting out of Cyberpunk. And if anyone is interested, like the game does take place after the anime from Netflix, Edgerunners. It takes place about a year afterwards.
The story or the DLC?
Oh, the game. Oh, no, the game. Yeah, the main game takes place a year after Edgerunners.
Cool. Okay, well, I might need to rewatch that again, but cool. All right, man, well, and there you have it. You know, it's a rollercoaster journey of Cyberpunk again, you know, because now to just beat it. We might bring this back up again maybe after I beat it, or, I mean, I don't know. I'm saying I'm going to beat it, but, I mean, like I said, I have a bunch of other games I have on my backlog, you know, but Cyberpunk 2077, you know, from a troubled launch to ongoing redemption, it seems like, you know, actually sincere thanks to obviously my brother. Now you seem to know everything, like, and I love having you on because you have all the details and extra details I didn't even know about, like, for example, Isaac, the character, playing, coming back and playing his role again, and then aging him, so that's pretty cool. You know, yeah. And also for shedding light on the evolution of Cyberpunk 2077 and Dead Space. You know, as always, gamers, everybody out there, you know, stay tuned for further updates. And remember that the gaming landscape is ever-changing. And until next time, I am your host, Rico, a.k.a. Phantom Recon. This is...
Nando Shadow Alchemist, a.k.a. Shadow Alchemist X, the Vines Thomas El Agua.
Awesome, and we are the Unsung Gamers, saving the world, one game at a time. Bye. Bye.